Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter on Substack. I'm now publishing on Substack, so follow me on Substack, and you can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. Our guest today is Dr. Larry Burke. Dr. Larry Burke is a retired holistic radiologist and author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Dr. Larry Burke is working on a course that you can take on Shift Network. So you can find out about his course on Shift Network. You can find out more about Dr. Larry Burke and his wonderful work at his website, letmagichappen.com. Welcome, Dr. Larry Burke.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So Dr. Larry Burke, what exactly is a holistic radiologist?
Most people think that's an oxymoron. There are actually about a dozen of us or so around the country who have deviated from the mainstream radiology approach and are exploring other avenues of healing. And part of this, is, for me at least, is motivated by the fact that my MRI patients were claustrophobic, and I learned hypnosis as an alternative to IV sedation. So that kind of sent me down my first alternative medicine rabbit hole.
So let's go. I'm going to ask a deeper question. What is a radiologist? Because you're a medical doctor.
Yeah. So a radiologist does 4 years of training after medical school to learn basically the diagnostic approaches to all parts of the body. And then after that residency training, you can go on and do a fellowship training, which I did in musculoskeletal radiology, making me an expert in bones and joints.
So you do MRIs and X-rays, correct?
Yeah, and CT scans as well.
CT scans, MRIs, and X-rays. And then you learned holistic methods to help your patients.
That was the original motivation was, about 5 to 10% of people get very claustrophobic in the MRI machine. And so you could either give them a pill of Valium by mouth, in which case a lot of times it didn't work. And then you lost a whole hour of valuable MRI time, or you give them IV Valium, and that always works, but sometimes they forget to breathe. And you need to breathe sometime during the hour when you're in the MRI scanner, or you're not going to make it out alive. So,
now, you have a chakra self-healing protocol that you're teaching on the Shift Network. Can you give us an overview? What exactly is the chakra self-healing protocol?
Yeah, it originated actually out of my work in musculoskeletal radiology, strangely enough. I read all the x-rays for the rheumatologist at Duke for many, many years. And when I retired and went part-time and started becoming a coach, I continued my connection with them and presented grand rounds for them on a couple occasions where I would give a lecture on integrative medicine. And I told them about EFT, emotional freedom techniques, which is one of my specialties as a coach, and also hypnosis and meditation and expressive writing. Those were the four major things I wanted to share with them. It turns out that they all have a lot of scientific evidence, which helps for the rheumatologists. So I gave that talk, and then they invited me to come and do a half hour sessions with their patients in the lupus clinic, where once they finished their appointment, before they checked out, I could have them for half an hour to teach them whatever I could. So I thought, what can I do in half an hour? Well, I taught 5 minutes of meditation. Really, and this is, people have never done anything before. So 5 minutes of very simple breaths related, simple mantra meditation. And then a lot of times, as you know, when you're meditating, disruptive thoughts come up. And so I told them, if that happens, you're going to get 5 minutes to write them all down as soon as you're done meditating. And that's the expressive writing part. Just write down stream of consciousness. And then after that, it gives you a focus of what you're going to want to do your emotional freedom techniques on. So have them circle the most emotionally charged words. And then we do 5 minutes of EFT tapping. And in tapping, my basic way to explain that is every bad thing that ever happens to you is like a malware program. Gets downloaded into your body, into your acupuncture meridians, uploaded through your nervous system, into your brain, and stored in the limbic system. And there's a file for every bad thing that ever happened. So, and the file has a picture, a story, and this program that runs you back to the original experience. All we do with tapping is have you intentionally recite the file name to get the program started running in a controlled fashion. And then you start tapping on the acupuncture points. It's like hitting the delete key on your computer and you uninstall that program. And once you've got that program out of there, then you use hypnosis to put a new program in. And so that's what I did for that. I got great reviews from the patients. And then when I got introduced to some of the issues with the chakras and how they connect to emotions to physical illness, I thought, oh, I'm going to start doing chakra workshops and just use that protocol for each chakra, but change the focus each time to go to another level. And that's what I did to, I started out doing the lower four chakras because one of my teachers, Margaret Lynch Rainier, said, you know, everybody who goes to a metaphysical meeting always wants to go to the upper three chakras, you know, speak your truth, tap into your intuition, and have a spiritual connection. She said a lot of the healing action is down in the lower chakras. So that's why I focused there. But when I got the opportunity to do the Shift Network, they have a seven module business model. So I thought, okay, I'll just do all. Now it's time to explore the upper three chakras. So that's what I'm doing.
Now, what are the primary, and by the way, that I've heard a lot of people explain EFT tapping, and I love your explanation that every bad thing that happens is like malware, and you have a picture, a story, and a file associated with it. Great explanation for EFT tapping. And yeah, so many of us in natural healing use EFT tapping, so great explanation. So, Dr. Larry Burke, what are the primary negative emotions you see associated with each of our seven main chakras?
Some of this work comes from Anna Diajudas' book, Eastern Body, Western Mind, which I discovered back in 2017. She wrote it many years before that. But she identified the emotional demons of each chakra. Now, demons are not a, you know, entity, but it's just the negative emotion. And she also described them in chronological order, which I thought was brilliant. I'd never heard that before, that first chakra is when you're an infant. What does an infant care about? Is it safe to be here on the planet or not? And if it's not safe, then fear is the demon emotion there. And once you become a toddler, if it's safe, then you start exploring your environment. And what do the adults say? No, don't do that. And so the terrible twos ensue and you get angry. And so the tantrums occur. So that's the demon of the second chakra. Then you move up to the third chakra as you become a little ego in preschool. What do the authority figures say? You're too big for your britches. Who do you think you are? And that's where shame comes from. And then fourth chakra, you go to grade school, you start being a little social being, you're creating relationships, and guess what? Some of those don't work out, you know. And then you get grief, which is, and maybe your grandparents die, and or even worse, maybe one of your parents dies, or and then the fifth chakra is really, you know, as you get to be a teenager, you start to express yourself and be creative and speak your truth. But unfortunately, some people will lie to you and you may wind up lying to yourself. So lying is the demon of the fifth chakra. And then you move to the sixth chakra. And as a, you know, a teenager exploring, you know, ways to perceive the world, it turns out some of those are illusions and even delusions, and those are the demons of the sixth chakra. You really want clear perception of what the truth is. And then finally, in the seventh chakra, you're you know, as a young adult, you're starting to explore that spiritual connection, and the thing that holds you back is you're at the same time you're really striving for material achievements. So it's really material attachments that are the demon of the seventh chakra, and that really It's too simple to say that every chakra is just like that, and there's a lot of overlap between them. But and there's some changes in the stages of development, but that's a general approach that works. So.
Yes, and so many again of us have read the books, plural, by Anindya Judith about the chakras and chakra development. So great summary of her work. Now, your book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. What inspired you to start dream research?
Well, I guess I have to d disclose that I started keeping a dream diary in, I think, 1987. And it was either through the Self-Realization Fellowship study or the Ekankar Science, Ancient Science of Soul Travel. One of those two inspired me to write keep a dream diary, and I've been doing it ever since. And I've had a lot of precognitive dreams, and which have been interesting. Some of those related to actually other people's illnesses. But it wasn't until about 1999 that I encountered one of my assistants in the when I was the education director for Duke Integrative Medicine. My assistant Polly had had this amazing story about having dreams about a spider crawling out of her mouth, and the insight was that she had tongue cancer, and so she went and got a biopsy. It was normal, and so she's had another dream the next night, which was. The MASH unit showed up from the TV show, Hot Lips Houlihan, and one of the doctors, and they said they missed the on the biopsy, have them do it again, and they did, and they found the cancer.
Wow.
And then when she had recurrence years later, it was the spider escaping from the cage.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, you're graphic, and that was my intro to people having their own personal dreams guide their health insights. But then. In like 2005 or six, one of my best friends had this vivid dream of being on an operating table with a woman surgeon operating on her left breast, and that was dramatic. And she was so compelled by that that she went and got a mammogram, and the radiologist came out and said, "Up, oh, your mammogram's fine. You can come back in 6 months." And she goes. I don't think so. And it turned out she had fairly dense breasts on the mammogram, and which makes the cancers harder to find. So she said, "I really want an ultrasound." And the radiologist, as any radiologist would do, would say, "Well, we don't just do ultrasound for a fishing expedition. It's not very effective. You'd have to have a lump or something on the mammogram that I was looking for." And she said, "Well, I'm not leaving till you till you do the ultrasound." So she said, "Well, where would I do it?" And she said, "Do it right here." And she put it on there, and there was a 1 centimeter cancer deep in the breast. And the radiologist turned white as a ghost and go, "Ah, how do you know?" And that's when she told her about the dream, not before. And then a week or two later, she went to get evaluated for surgery, and she walked in the office, and it was the woman surgeon from the dream who was op had operated on. Yeah, so that started me on a whole down a rabbit hole of looking for health related dreams, particularly related to breast cancer. And I wound up doing a survey and. And found 18 women around the world who had similar stories, and that was the basis of the book. And then one of the dreamers was Kat O'Keefe Canevas, who's became my co-author on the Dreams That Can Save Your Life book. And she had these amazing Alice in Wonderland dreams where okay, people love computer metaphors, right? So she's in a dream and the dream freezes. Everybody loves when your computer screen freezes, right? So then worse than that, a pop-up window appears. Okay. And but through the pop-up window steps a Franciscan monk with a hood on and a robe and sandals and a belt but she can never see his face. But the monk starts giving her instructions like you need to go get a mammogram, and you've got breast cancer. And so she does, and they don't find anything. And finally, the monk says, "You just gotta go back and have them do a biopsy." And there are a couple people in the study who. Managed to find a surgeon who would do a biopsy based on their dream only when the radiographs didn't show anything. That takes a hell of a very open-minded surgeon to be able to do that, you know. So.
Yes. So, recently, like many women who get mammograms regularly, I'm 66, so I'm getting mammograms on a regular basis. And I remember my medical doctor, she said about a third of people, women who get mammograms, they get called back. because it's not always easy to find breast cancer, even when you do get a mammogram. And so many people are concerned about that. Even a friend of mine in Costa Rica, the doctors wanted to get a biopsy. And I was like, do the biopsy, like rule it out. Like I knew she was okay. I think she thought she was okay, but you want to know you're okay. So, Dr. Larry Burke, as a radiologist, someone who does medical imaging, what kind of recommendations can you offer to women who are worried about breast cancer?
Well, first thing is keep a dream diary, because my dream teacher, it was really interesting when I went and gave a presentation at the International Association of Study Dreams. This 75-year-old woman, Marcia Emery, gets up and goes, "I'm introducing Dr. Burke, but I just want to say that I'm 75, never had a mammogram in my life. If I was going to have cancer, I'd have a dream about it." And it's like, whoa, that was pretty bold. I said, as a medical doctor, I cannot recommend that physician. But and it turns out that one of my close holistic radiologist friends, Tom Hudson, is actually a mammogram specialist. I haven't read mammograms in 30 years. But Tom wrote a book called Leaving the Fear of Breast Cancer Behind. And it's called Your Journey to Hope. And Tom Hudson, it's just like the river, and you can find him online. But he's the only radiologist I know who's certified in thermography and mammography. Most radiologists completely poo-poo thermography. It doesn't use any radiation, but it doesn't give you any, beautiful images like you would on a mammogram or an MRI scan. But and this is what Tom says in his experience: the mammogram will pick up some cancers that the thermogram will miss, and the thermogram will pick up some cancers that the mammogram will miss. So he recommends alternating, like get a baseline of both of them, and then maybe every other year do one or the other. That's his recommendation. And he's got more information about that in his book. And he also does consults for people who have confusing studies, like you said, getting called back for follow-ups, studies. And then he'll do consults with people who are really confused. So I think he's a wonderful resource to have available. And I again keep a dream diary. And I did do a study with one of my holistic mammography friends at Duke, and we just wanted to see how many women who were having breast biopsies had had a dream, because we didn't know how common it was. It turned out that only about 5% of 160 women had any kind of dream related to their breast. The one was kind of outstanding. It was a woman whose daughter who died of cancer years ago came back and told her to go get a mammogram. And a lot in the book, a lot of the they're often guides, and it could be like that white-coated doctor, it could be a healthcare professional, or it could be a deceased relative, maybe a mother or grandmother who had breast cancer would come and tell you. So pay attention to those guides.
So personally, I've had both thermograms and mammograms. So I've done both. And I remember the thermogram specialist, the lady who did the testing with the thermogram, she was very passionate about it because her mother died of breast cancer. So for our audience, Dr. Larry Burke, can you explain what is a thermogram and how is it different from a mammogram?
Yeah, well, there's no radiation. All you're doing is you're laying under a camera that's detecting the heat coming out of your body. And places that have cancer tend to be hotter than places that are normal. Now, another area that, say, had an infection, that could be hot as well. So it's a little more nonspecific. And some people then will get referred for an MRI scan as sort of the gold standard problem-solving technique. And it's very expensive, and it's not really an appropriate screening tool. It's sort of a problem-solving thing. The only my biggest reservation about MRI, having done it for 30 plus years, is that in order to do an adequate breast MRI, they have to give you gadolinium contrast intravenously, and unfortunately, gadolinium is a toxic heavy metal. And when we started out 30 years ago, they said, "Oh, don't worry, you pee it out the next day." And now, 20 years later, we find out for the last 10 years that, oh no, actually the gadolinium can be found in your brain years later and it never leaves your body. And some people have gadolinium deposition disease. So I wish you could do a breast MRI without gadolinium. So.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan. I'm a medical intuitive healer, 32 years experience in natural healing. You can find out more about me at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. Our guest today, Dr. Larry Burke, is the author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Larry Burke, you are the author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, and you're also an EFT practitioner. And many of us in natural healing and holistic healing tend to combine different techniques. You combine EFT tapping and dream work. How do you combine EFT tapping and dream work?
Well, a lot of my colleagues who do EFT rely on muscle testing as a way of figuring out what to do next. I am trained in muscle testing. I've never really felt drawn to it. I've done it a couple times successfully. But in my practice, I look at muscle testing as the interaction, intersection between the patient's intuition and the clinician's intuition. And, you know, the muscle testing is a way of sort of elucidating that. But what I just usually rely on dreams. I just say, oh, I can't decide whether we should tap on this today or that. Did you have a dream recently that's going to tell us what to do? And oftentimes the dream will just spell it out for you. And that's what I love about doing it. And plus, you get people who say, I don't remember my dreams. And then as soon as they have their first visit with me, and I tell them, just write down one question every night that you want an answer to in your dream diary. And that prompt will let the dream world know you're open for business. And often they'll get like a dream fragment or an image or something the first time. And then a couple of days later, they get in a whole epic story. So.
Okay. I love that. So for those of us who don't tend to remember our dreams, because I think that we, you know, science shows that we do dream even if we don't remember our dreams. How can we go about remembering our dreams?
Yeah, it's setting that intention. There are some herbs you can take and drugs that can take that supposedly enhance dreaming. Galantamine is a drug that's used for Alzheimer's disease. Mugwort is an herb that has some benefits. And I mean, the one thing you don't want to do is marijuana products are going to block your dream recall. So that's one downside to that.
Okay, good information there. And here we are at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. So most of our audience prefer not to use any drugs. Okay, So you use the dreams and then you use the tapping to release the emotions associated with a dream. Now, you talked about the importance of working on our lower four chakras. What self-healing techniques do you use with the lower four chakras? So first, second, third, fourth chakra.
Well, since I'm a radiologist, I focus mostly on physical illnesses. I'm not a mental health professional, so I'm not advertising that I treat anxiety, depression, or PTSD. But I look at each of the chakras as having particular physical illnesses that are connected. And if you look at what the emotional demon is, it gives you a clue as to what the illness might be. And in the first chakra, it's going to be your body is reacting in a fearful way. Well, that sounds an awful lot like autoimmune disease. You're attacking everything first because of some perceived invader, but you're wind up damaging your own tissues in the process. So I look at the first chakra as being the seat of autoimmune disease, and then the second chakra, anger, has been talked about for years, particularly by Dr. John Sarno, who is legendary at NYU for having written the book Healing Back Pain. And his whole premise was pain, chronic pain is about repressed rage. It wasn't just anger, it was rage. And so that becomes the focus of a lot of the second chakra work is on chronic pain. And then the third chakra, you're really dealing with all the organs of digestion. And so you're doing all the eating disorders, obesity, food cravings, type 2 diabetes, and even more if severe eating disorders, which re probably require psychotherapy. But I also look at the metaphor for each illness and what the message is, because we really need. You're an intuitive. You know, the messages are coming from your body, and in Western medicine, we just want to shoot those messengers and suppress them, whereas in holistic medicine, you want to embrace the message that's coming. And so I always ask people to look, well, what's the metaphor, for that particular illness? And in diet, I love the metaphor for diabetes is, okay, you're making your blood too sweet. Shouldn't you be making your life sweet instead? So yeah, and that usually resonates with people and think about, okay, what can I do? I'm going to start to sing, I'm going to dance, I'm going to do something to make my life sweeter, make some friends or whatever. And so that's a nice metaphor. And then the fourth chakra, grief is really connected to the Chinese five element system as well, and that's the lungs are the organ of grief. And interesting enough, those meridians for the lung and large intestine go up into the sinuses. And so it's really the lungs and sinuses. And so what you see, according to Louise Hay, if you have postnasal drip, that means inner crying. And if you think about it, your sinuses are getting a lot of blocked tears that aren't coming out through your eyes. And then what happens, it runs down the back of your throat, gives you postnasal drip. You wind up with annoying cough, and then you might wind up with bronchitis or something else going on in your lungs. And think of all the people out there with sinus problems. And they get antihistamines and they get antibiotics, and no one ever asked them, did you just lose someone in your family that was important to you? Oh, something to tap on. Yes.
Yeah, great information. Now, Dr. Larry Burke, how do you explore symptoms as metaphors?
Yeah, that was what I was about the diabetes. I look at, I mean, it really started with Louise Hay back in the 80s when I read the Heal Your Body book, and I thought, that was, as a physician, that was just ridiculously oversimplified. And then when I started using it, I went, well, whoa, there's a nugget of intuitive truth in all of the things she's saying, And for me, it started with, I think, oh, the first one was I had a wicked cramp in my calf, like a bad Charlie horse. It wouldn't go away for a minute. I was writhing on the floor, and I managed to crawl over to the bookshelf and pull her book off the shelf and looked up calf pain. It said, fear of moving forward. It's like, oh, okay. And I was closing on my first house the next day, so it was perfect, And I just said the affirmation. I didn't know any tapping back then. I just said her affirmation, which was, still remember the affirmation that I move forward with confidence and ease, knowing that all is well in my future. And that was, and my Charlie horse went away, and I bought the house the next day. So.
Wow. Well, and I love that you're talking about some of these books that many of us in natural healing have read, and use almost as manuals for our healing. So let's go back to those chakras and especially the four lower chakras. So what's the metaphor that we want to look for in our first chakra? So first chakra would also be legs and hip issues,
And
right?
it's called the root chakra for a good reason. It's usually there's some disruption in your family of origin or your roots. And I mean, I know people who break a bone in their foot every time they're getting ready to move to a new house. It's just like pulling up your roots. Or anything that's destabilizing your foundation.
Destabilizing foundation. Yes. I agree with that. And everything that you're saying for our audience, as a medical intuitive, I can fully attest to everything you're saying. And what about the second chakra? Because you talked about the demon there is anger, and a lot of our back pain is repressed rage. So what's the metaphor that we want to look for in our second chakra?
It counts for all chronic pain throughout the body, but low back pain is sort of the poster child for this conversation. And that's who's stabbing you in the back? I mean, that's the first question you'd ask. And then what burdens are you angry about carrying on your back? That's the kind of metaphor you're looking for.
On stabbing in the back, I remember years ago, this lady came in and she actually had pain, severe pain right between her shoulder blades, like in the back of her heart.
Yeah, sure.
And she worked in an office, and I actually figured out that somebody had stabbed her in the back. It was a political move in the office, and she was unaware of that at the time. But I figured, I was like, okay, I realized what had happened. I asked her, tell me the names of the people in your office. I figured out who it was. And then she went to work, found out what had happened. And then as soon as she realized that, the pain went away.
And when I combine the hypnosis after the EFT, I often do some imagery work with people. If they have a particular place that's bothering them, I'll ask them to assign a color to it, and then assign an image to it. And it might be there's a knife sticking in me, and then I will say, well, that's your picture. You can do whatever you want with it. Turn it into something you want there, and then they transform the image, and often the pain will dissipate that way.
So great information. And with that, let's take another break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. We're listening to Dr. Larry Burke, retired holistic radiologist and author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
the station that makes you feel good.
So, Dr. Larry Burke, we're talking about metaphors to look for when we're trying to heal our body. So when we're dealing with issues of our third chakra, and which I think is very common, that's also the center for clairsentience or psychic feeling. And I find that so many people are feelers and they're taking on energy and emotion that doesn't even belong to them. So I see that quite a bit. So what's the metaphor that we need to look for when we're trying to heal our third chakra?
Well, I years ago, I did a presentation attempting to correlate the Chinese five element system with the chakra system, and very challenging. The only chakra that matches up with the right five element is the third chakra, because it's yellow and the earth element is yellow, and they both involve the pancreas and the spleen and the stomach. So that was a good fit. And when you look at the issues with the earth element, it's really about a balance between giving and receiving. And people who overgive in the third chakra get really depleted because they're not doing anything to nurture themselves. And it's interesting that we mentioned the breast cancer earlier, because when I surveyed the women in my study about why they thought they had breast cancer, they said, oh, it's because I'm giving to everybody else and not doing anything to nurture myself. And my wife's an acupuncturist, and I said, which meridian goes through the breast? She said, the stomach meridian goes right through the nipple. And so the stomach, earth element, third chakra, even though you'd think the breast would be more like a fourth chakra issue. And there probably is a component to that as well. But it's really interesting to look at that. And are you doing enough to nurture yourself? And then the conversation in the third chakra is also, since it's about self-esteem versus shame, is am I good enough or am I not good enough? And that's the big one there.
Right. Good enough. As a healer of 32 years, full-time experience, I feel like everybody needs a healing on I'm good enough. And paradoxically, I was just talking about this today with one of my clients, and I said, the thing to understand is that your energy is unique, right? And Dr. Larry Burke is wonderful. I'm pretty good at what I do. Everyone has a unique energy. And if you're alive today, it's because the world needs your unique vibration. So scientifically, you are a unique vibrational interference pattern. Your energy is as unique to you as your thumbprint. And when you get that you have a unique energy, I don't have to be taller, change my hair color, be richer, thinner. You just have to be you. And just really embracing that, if you're alive, there's something about your unique vibration that the world needs, and you can embrace that and just being you and valuing yourself. So realize you're already a VIP. You may not live in Hollywood or live in a mansion, but you're already a VIP. Yeah. So Dr. Larry Burke, moving on to the fourth chakra, what's the metaphor? You talked about the demon there being grief. What's the metaphor for healing our fourth chakra?
Well, I mean, it's really, I looked at, so what's the opposite of grief? You know, and everybody, it'd be sort of cliche to say love in the heart chakra. But I thought maybe it's something else. So I prefer gratitude. Because if you think about a major loss that you had, the only reason you have grief about it is because you at some point were grateful for having had that. So if you can go back and reclaim the gratitude and let go of the loss, then you hold on to all the good memories you had of the, it could be a pet, it could be a relative, it could be a spouse, it could be a child, and just hold on to the good memories and let the rest of it go, because I'll also have people promote their deceased loved ones to spirit guide, And the funny thing is, when I was doing a presentation on this for the Hypnosis Society, I did a literature search on hypnosis and grief, and there's a technical term for what I just described. It's called God, let me metaphysical relationship restructuring. Isn't that great?
Redmond gets promoted to your spirit guide. Yeah. And I do think that actually happens quite a bit. And you mentioned gratitude. What I find in having, I remember years ago speaking to a medium, and when we lose someone who's very meaningful to us, usually there's a gift even in their loss. And you when you're in that throes of grief and missing them so terribly, you may not find it, but if you just wait, there is a corresponding blessing that that can come through their grief, that come through their loss, right?
And getting back to dreams as well, sometimes people have after-death communication dreams, which also call them visitation dreams, especially when the person appears in the prime of life, not as you remember them dying, but and those are very powerful ways of healing grief if you have one of those. And I actually did a ironically, both of the TED Talks I've done in the last since 2016 have been banned. And the second one was called the Spiritual Alphabet Soup of Death and Dying. And I covered ADC for after death communication, SDE for shared death experience, NDE, near death experience, and NDA is nearing death awareness. In 12 minutes, I did it in 12 minutes. So, and but the only way that you can get a psychiatrist to talk about after-death communication, and a friend of mine published a paper on it called Bereavement Hallucinations.
Right. And that wonderful synopsis of your TED Talk is on your website, letmagichappen.com. And I listened to that. It was very helpful. And lots of people have after-death communication. So,
Yes.
right. Now, so what's the metaphor between behind healing our fifth chakra, throat chakra? So you said the demon there is lying to others, lying to ourselves.
So then you want to be truthful, no matter what, in the fifth chakra, and that will affect your thyroid function, and also speaking your truth. If you think about, well, Hashimoto's thyroiditis is the most common autoimmune disease, and it's mostly women. If you think about what happens as the fifth chakra is developing in teenage years, that's when, women who might have been advanced verbally all through childhood suddenly get shut down. And I think that's the origin of a lot of those kind of hypothyroid situations.
Yes, and I can attest to that. I was on thyroid medicine for years, all different kinds of thyroid medicine. But then in my 50s, this is a fascinating thing. I published 10 books. My first book was published in 1997. I wrote and published 9 books in my 50s. And guess what happened to my thyroid?
That'll open your throat chakra, I think. Yes.
Totally normalized. No, so I mean, I got off all thyroid medicine very early in my 50s. I don't remember whether that was after my second or third book, but and I just did a medical intuitive reading with somebody who had thyroid disease, and I'm like, write a book and write a book, speak your truth.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so no drugs, no homeopathy, no herbs. Write a book. Speak from your truth. So, what's the metaphor behind our sixth chakra? Because that also corresponds to our physical eyes.
Yeah, and I think you want to get clear perception from all your senses, be they the sixth sense or your normal senses. Any illusions or delusions, you need to be able to see clearly through and have discernment.
Have discernment. And finally, the seventh chakra. What's the metaphor behind our healing our so seventh chakra would be disorder, any disorders of the brain, right?
Yeah, and I'm dealing with that myself at the moment. I have restless legs for many, many years, and it's not a leg problem, it's a brain problem. And And it turns out that after experimenting with every imaginable holistic remedy, the only thing that really works long term is meditation. And that's the best way to open the crown chakra. And I've actually been using an interesting mantra lately, which is inspired by Frank Fool's Crow, is the most famous Lakota holy man from, I think he died in 89. But he had this great quote that I put in my first, in my Let Magic Happen book, which was, if you become like hollow bones, there is no limit to what the higher powers can do in you and through you in spiritual things. So my meditation mantra is now hollow bone. That's it.
Oh, I love that. Will you repeat that quote? That's such a beautiful quote. I think so many of us can, allow God to work through me, right?
Yeah. And if we become like hollow bones, there's no limit to what the higher powers can do in and through us in spiritual things.
I love that. And I remember when I studied medical intuition, my teacher said, your job is to show up and get out of the way. Show up and get out of the way.
Yep. No, that's great advice. And I guess we're getting close to the end here. I wanted to mention one thing is that, we talked about symptoms as metaphors, and that's a very important concept. Don't shoot the messenger, embrace your symptoms and metaphors. But even better, if you want to get ahead of the game, keep a dream diary and the dreams, work with the dream symbols the same way you would work with your symptoms. And if you really get in the groove, you can make the emotional adjustments and course corrections you need to make based on the dreams before you have to get any symptoms to get your attention. So yeah, that would be the best preventive medicine there is, I think.
So you recommend that we keep a dream diary. So, and you've kept one for decades. So how can you share for our audience, how do you keep your dream diary?
Yeah, I you're only allowed to ask one question a night. Because whatever response you get from the dream world is just going to be about that question. Now, you can keep asking the same question every night until you get an answer. The other thing that I really recommend is if you get a dream in the middle of the night, write it down immediately. And of course, if you're sleeping with someone else, that can be an issue. So people who sleep by themselves often will record it into their phone, which is a very efficient way to do it, because then you can download it to your computer. But if you're the simplest thing, and this is not a product placement ad for Amazon, but there's a Glovio pen, Glovio, which has a red, you get the red variety because you want to use some kind of red flashlight in the middle of the night because red does not disrupt your pineal function. If you use a white light, that's a problem. Mm. It'll suppress your melatonin. So you'd use a red light and you write your dream down right away. Don't assume you're going to remember it in the morning. And then just cultivate that skill.
And it's a Glovio, spelled
with the pen. Glovio. They come in like a pack of three and they got a little battery in them and they got the pen and the tip and then the light built into it. It's a handy thing to have.
Fantastic information. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. Our guest today has been the one and only Dr. Larry Burke, retired holistic radiologist, author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. And you can take Dr. Burke's course on the Shift Network and find out about his wonderful work at LetMagicHappen.com. And remember, when you listen to the message behind your illness, you can heal yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.